Good evening, and welcome to FlameFlash.net Podcast. One less than 90, and we'll get started. 89. Yes, exactly. I meant to say that. Raptor Report. It's earlier than usual, so I'm actually slightly energetic. I'm trying to fight off a cold. The 4-year-old decided to, you know, snuggle in because he was feeling miserable from his cold. So, naturally, breathing the same air in such a close spot all night last night has left me with a need to sip at some sun drop occasionally. Pardon me for those, well, the watchers and the listeners for doing that. But we'll get started with the Raptor Report. Sims 3. It shows up on the Raptor Report because Red Flair's birthday, her an anniversary of her 26th birthday. Now I'm failing at math, but oh well. Fourth. Ah, thank you, honey. But one of the things that I grabbed for her was an EA points card, which immediately turned into quite a few cool choices of clothes, hair, and decorative items for sim houses that I look forward to using. It's nice having multiple licenses but one login. Very nice. Ratchet and Clank, All for One, shows up, and I'm skipping that last little bit I had about not always skipping what just the kids play when they show up on the Raptor Report, because there's something going wrong with Ratchet and Clank All for One, and I'm wondering if anybody out there is having the same issue. We are at the Nest episode level group, and we can't load into it. I don't know if it's because we have a bad disc, or because it's some kind of weird bug and a level 7 Clank just can't get in. My Googling has availed me not, so I am just asking the community here, does your Ratchet and Clank All for One crash? Does it? We are disc-based. We have PlayStation Plus, and I've been highly tempted, especially now, to download it, but I don't have the gigs available, the space available. That 1 terabyte hard drive for the PS3 is looking sweeter and sweeter, I must tell you. Hop, skip, and a jump over one of only the kids playing, and it's Mario Kart 7. And Red Flair kicked my butt. Well and heartily. I don't know what it is about Mario Kart and when we play together. It's the one game she can dominate me on in all its forms, from the N64 era forward. The handheld versions she has much better luck on than I do. The Wii version, I can sometimes manage to eke out ahead, but somehow on Mario Kart 7 and Mario Kart GBA and Mario Kart DS, no love for the item boxes for me. But it's still fun. Especially listening to her laugh maniacally as that blue shell whacks me in the head one last time, right before the finish line, and I therefore get third place. Again. But we'll move on. Brave, the video game for the PS3. Oh, let's see here. I think it was last Sunday, the almost 9-year-old woke up and decided to wake Daddy up. I'm glad that while it's near impossible to wake me up in the middle of the night, I can at least extend a light thank you by being able to get up in the mornings extremely easily. So, no sleeping in for Daddy on Sunday. But when Red Flare woke up and came down, the entire crew actually came down at that point, she found us snuggled under a couple of blankets, enjoying Brave, because there's a two-player co-op where Daddy Mode gets a blue little wisp to play as, while, of course, Little Miss was Merida. She was very satisfied with the experience. Got through an entire other scene. I showed her where to check for unlockables to add replayability. She appreciated it. She enjoyed it. Ah, Dungeon Defenders does show up. Because I did actually join in and play a little bit on the PS3. Should have mentioned that because it showed up earlier. The PC version of Dungeon Defenders didn't join in this week. But the Monk, Squire, Hunter, Huntress combination that the three of us have, myself, the older son, and Little Miss, quite devastating. It is quite devastating to behold. She's getting more confident with putting down the traps, both gas and flame. Son has switched to Squire since the 4-year-old decided, hey, let's delete all the characters and replace them with Squires. Well, what else are you going to do but play a Squire? Magically, Little Mrs. Huntress, unscathed. Completely unscathed. I don't know how. You could tell that what happened was probably the 4-year-old accidentally deleted a character. And rather than running to Red Flare, went, oh crap, I can fix this myself. I'll replace the character instead of restoring the character. Because with PlayStation Plus, I could have. But PlayStation Plus kind of, you know, auto-updated after the fact. So no more level 70 mage for the sun. Sorry, bud. World of Warcraft shows up. As it should. I have dinged my second level 90, an elemental resto shaman. And the sun has hit level cap with his warrior. We have hit level cap in record time. We were never level cap. We hit level cap late in Cataclysm. And now we've hit level cap fair to middling in Pandaria. Pretty awesome. This gives us enough time to run scenarios as a family. In the family guild, get the challenge rewards that come with it. Enjoy the lore of the scenario. Sit back and actually watch the scenarios instead of joining in with a group that goes, go, 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 go. No, thank you. No. The first time I experienced the scenarios, I wanted to be with my family and as a guild team. And we'll be able to do that now. And that pleases me greatly. There's even an achievement for hitting all of the scenarios on a Saturday, which is the only day that it'll probably be viable for us to do this, so over the next few months we'd be able to. The Saturdayterriest? I can't pronounce that title at all, but there's a title. It goes along with it. And we will heavily level the guild. The family guild just recently unlocked Hasty Hearth. Huge bonus for that. Hasty Hearth. Fantastic. huge bonus for the kids with that. But along with the World of Warcraft play with the son, earlier this week, I was able to enjoy actually going and finishing all of Pandaria. So I have now seen and completed every quest there is to do in Pandaria that's not a daily. Or at least every quest that is available to you as a leveling character. There are probably more of those story-based quests that unlock when you hit a certain rep with the various factions. I know I am probably missing some for Operation Shieldwall, for instance. I think Golden Lotus is the same, and I have yet to unlock Shadowpan or August Celestials. I just can't do their dailies yet. So, I have a ways to go, daily-wise. But it's starting to get dry. I'm very thankful that 5.2 is around the corner, and I will most likely buy the farm, in a good way, and start fulfilling some of those requests. I really hope that the farm is a reasonable amount of gold. I haven't seen anything written about it yet, so we're probably looking at a March release of 5.2. That's my bet, unless they really start speeding things up. But I'm okay with that. That gives me some time to enjoy my 290s, continue getting more rep elsewhere. I'm almost done with the anglers. And then it's this Golden Lotus and the two that unlock after the Golden Lotus. And I'm almost to my kite. But once it's just the Golden Lotus, I will probably also start leveling my... Oh, the Klaxi. I always forget the Klaxi. Those poor bug mantids. I leave them out. Their quests are actually fun. But once I wrap it up, and I'm probably only Golden Lotus at that point until the August Celestial Shadowpan, I'll be able to start leveling, say, the Warlock, the Death Knight, and go for that third and fourth 90. Or perhaps Red Flare and I will take our pair, our Mage Priest, and get there. Give her her second 90, me my third. Sounds like a plan, especially with our anniversary coming up on Saturday. Olive Garden and World of Warcraft. Sounds like a perfect date for a pair of married geeks who have been married for over a decade. This is not the decade one. And she's laughing at me because she thinks I'm trying to dodge the year. Which I'm not. I'm just not sharing it with the World Wide Web. Thank you very much, wife. Yeah, see? Flashed hand signs at her. Sorry for the pause. Prove myself. Huh. She's trying her best not to laugh out loud, but I think it's going to fail. Anyway, my screensaver just kicked in on my notes. How inconvenient of it. Because that was the end of the Raptor Report. There's surprisingly not a good piece of WoW news to segue into, so I'll have to use StarCraft. StarCraft 2, Heart of the Swarm Cinematic, has been released. I wrote about it already, I think over on Monk of Mists. If not Monk of Mists, it was on the main Flame Flash site. And it looks awesome. It's one of those nudge-nudge, hint-hint, wink-wink, collector edition things that would be great as a birthday gift, because it releases in March. That's not too long to hide a collector's edition away for, and I'm sure it'll have a awesome WoW pet that comes along with it, maybe a D3 banner, and then of course more story. As I wrote on the piece, absolutely love the story of StarCraft II. I just need time to actually play StarCraft 2. I'm fully absorbed at the moment in World of Warcraft. I don't mind that, but it also does limit the amount of gaming time for other things. For instance, shame on me, I haven't touched Persona 4 Golden in a while. I'll get back to it. Love the story. I have not given up on it. I just also haven't had opportunity to pick it up. The joys of an adult geek parent. How about a nerd rant? Wii U. So, a while back, last September, I did a little economic, hey, what's the cost of the Wii U? What's the real cost of the Wii U to my family? I estimated it about $110. Give or take the GameCube compatibility being lost, but the Wii backwards compatibility still being there, the fact that I could transfer my saves and my virtual console items over. Well, they just dropped a bomb on us. One, first off, if you get the black Wii U console, you get Nintendo Land. Quote unquote free. It's basically the cost. You're not paying for the extra gigs, you're paying for the game. But Nintendo Land, for some of the mini games, and I explained this in the article too, requires Wii Motion Plus. I have two of those Wii Motion Plus dongle plug-in things on the to the bottom of your Wii remote. That's not good enough, especially with how the kids waggle. Yeah, and I'm going so fast that the camera's not even picking it up for those watching. We have to recalibrate so often that the games just aren't satisfying. I'd rather play Sports Champions on the PS3 with the PlayStation Move. Be that as it may, that means I don't get the full effect of the Wii U and Nintendo Land unless I buy four more controllers. Because who knows what the next Smash Brothers and Mario Kart are going to require, or the next 3D Mario. Is it going to be just gamepad only, or the multiplayer going to need Wii Motion Plus? That's all you can find on the store shelves of these days, so one of these times, they're going to start assuming people only have Wii Motion Plus, like they did with Nintendo Land. 120 bucks. Boom. Gone. Add to the price of the Wii U. Now we have a virtual console on the Wii U. Not just transferring your Wii's virtual console over to the Wii U, but you can pay a premium now to convert or upgrade your virtual console games from the Wii to be detachable. The awesome game mode of putting it on your Wii U gamepad and being able to play TV independent, rather than, say, being respectful to the customers who have already bought these games multiple more times than we really should be if we were only driven by rationality. They're asking us to upgrade our games for, was it a buck a piece? Now I'd have to go reread the article that I wrote up, but either way, you're Nintendo spitting in our faces and expecting us to go, "Thank you, sir, may I have another?" No. No, thank you. That being said, to me, it raises the price of the Wii U. Because I will want the detachability feature. But I have a weapon against it. Think Geek. Red Flare and the kids got this awesome little device, the Retro Duo Portable, for me for Christmas, along with the Vita. I haven't talked about it much because I've been absorbed with the Vita, or World of Warcraft. But you mix in the classic games that you would normally be buying on the virtual console. No, look. There is your Wii U gamepad for those watching from the video. For those not, I am holding up the Retro Duo, and yes, that is Earthbound in there. So, it's supposed to be doing that on the screen. Haha! Earthbound. Mother 2. We'll turn it off so it doesn't get distracting and I don't start playing it again all over. But Nintendo's just spitting on us. And I will have no more of that, thank you. I will use my Retro Duo. And if a game that comes out that I don't currently own, either on the Wii already, or on the 3DS already, or in my drawer of the classics, then I'll consider it. But only then. So I have methods around it at this point. That being said, and a horrible segue, but I intentionally loaded what I loaded in the Retro Duo, because Mother 2, a.k.a. Earthbound, has been announced for the Virtual Console in Japan. Finally. Like many of the other classics, this one has been tied up in copyright purgatory. So it's fantastic that they managed to get it in Japan. Now if they can only bring it here. Not that I'll need to pick it up, but that's one of those that's horribly tempting to expose the kids to. Horribly tempting. Because it's Earthbound. And it would be on the big screen. And I'd be sure it looked good still. Or at least behaved itself. There's a cost associated with virtual console conversion. I will give you that. You try to hook up an NES, a Super Nintendo, or any of those classic consoles to a current generation television. I'm not saying ours is very current, but it's about a year old, thanks to warranties, right, hon? Yeah, I'm getting a nod. Okay. And the quality goes down. It's not HD. There's black bars along the side, or it's super weirdly stretched. The programming was with the intent that there would be a tiny delay between your button press and your character sprite moving on the screen due to CRT light fires, cathode ray tube. That's not true in the digital age anymore. It's an even nearer instantaneous hit. So if you're wondering why those Atari joystick things that you can plug into the front of your television and try to play those classics stink, it's because they don't do any porting. They just shove it all on a flash memory card, shove it in a classic-looking controller, and expect you to appreciate the past in a extremely slimmed down way. So there's cost. I understand it. But for those of us that have already bought these games on our home console, on a virtual console, it's an insult. And hopefully Nintendo wisens up and perhaps offers an ambassadorial service again. Don't give us free games. Give us free conversion of the games we already have. Give us cross-buy, for crying out loud. So if I have the game on my virtual console on the Wii U, it's also on my 3DS. Holy crap! New thinking! Oh wait, Sony's doing that. I got a light chortle from the peanut gallery. I guess I'm ranting about that one long enough, aren't I? Huh. Alright then. Fine. Be that way. PS3 and Vita. Online store launching. Well, they already have a store. No. Web browser store. So you can log in. You know, that feature that the Xbox 360 has had since it started. Sony is now getting, 10 years later. But we're getting it. You can't, say, queue up a download like you can on the Xbox. But you can do it. Oh, we have a youngling sleepwalker that just walked through the scene for those on the video. Interesting. But there it is. PS3, Vita. We have our online store, finally. Last but not least, we will venture into the world of politics, because I have to get a sleepwalker back up to bed. So he had perfect timing. No budget, no pay. The House passes a pay bill for themselves that actually makes sense. If the Senate doesn't pass the next budget, and probably any future budget, they don't get paid. Their pay is held in escrow. No more checks. As it should be. If I don't do my job, I get fired. If they don't do their job, they get to still sit there? It never made sense. It's being corrected. Now, as long as the Senate, agrees to it and the President actually signs it, we're good to go. I think the House snuck it in with the debt ceiling bill. So the President's kind of going to have to sign it. And the Senate, well, they might try to get around it, pass a different version, but I figure that would be political suicide for all those incumbents that vote against it. Can't you just hear the political ads and next year already? So-and-so refused to pass a bill that would make him do his job. Do you really want somebody who refuses to do his job representing you in the Senate? Vote for the other guy. Can't you just hear it? I can. But that's FlameFlash.net podcast, episode 89. It helps that I have a sun drop sitting over there by my desk, and that it's only amazingly a quarter after 10, my time, instead of, almost the next day. So I wish everyone good night, and then when next we meet, we will have celebrated an anniversary and a little miss's birthday, and Escort of the Sleepwalker, another 5 nights back up to his bed. So I am Flame Flash, wishing you all a good night.